John chapter 4, we started with the Jesus Christ witnessing to the woman at the well, and most of the town coming to Christ because of her testimony of Jesus Christ. Took a break there and understood that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then last week, how the woman said, "Come see a man," and brought the town to hear Jesus. In the midst of that, Jesus had a discourse in response to the disciples' encouragement for Jesus to stop and take a break and eat. And he taught a lesson through that. So we're going to look at that, verses 31 to 38 tonight. "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, 'Master, eat.' But he said unto them, 'I have meat to eat that you know not of.' Therefore said the disciples one to another, 'Hath any man brought him aught to eat?' Jesus saith unto them, 'My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor, other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." So Jesus again teaching us a lesson while he's teaching the disciples a lesson at the well there in Samaria. "Finish his work" is our title tonight. Lord, I pray for your wisdom. You use your word in our hearts and lives to teach and grow us. Meet with us as we gather together in your name. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So Jesus here is first of all teaching his disciples that serving the Lord and his word are much more important than eating food. Because their encouragement there was, you need to eat. You've been busy witnessing to these people at Samaria. People have come and you've been telling them about yourself. You need to stop and eat. He said, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." I have more important things than to sit and eat an earthly meal. I need to serve the Lord. And he said the same thing in the desert, didn't he? When the devil tempted him and said, "Let these stones be made bread." Now that was after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And what did he say? "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So obviously serving the Lord is more important than earthly things, than earthly provision and so forth. And that's the first point he's trying to get across. The second one is that our meat, our will, or God's will for us is the same as Christ, and that is to serve the Lord. Notice verse 34, Jesus saith unto him, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." My meat is to do God's will. Our meat is the same. Our meat, our goal, if you will, our mission is to accomplish God's will. We know Jesus, when he was there in the garden, what did he say? "Not my will, but thy will be done." He was not only expressing the beautiful truth, but he was also teaching us a lesson that God's will is the most important. And if you go to Romans 12, we'll look at that again. Well, I think we just looked at it. I forget when. Reasonable service. Sunday morning, maybe. Romans chapter 12, most of us know verse 1 and 2. "Beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." We talked about that on Sunday morning, your reasonable service. "And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect," what? Will of God. Part of being a living sacrifice is proving what is the will of God. In other words, fulfilling it. Finding it and fulfilling it. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, "Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Ephesians 5:17. We're to understand it. We're to know the will of God and we're to do it. And that's what Jesus is saying here to his disciples. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And then back to our passage, John 4:34, and to finish it. To finish his work. It's one thing as Christians to say, "Yeah, I know what God's will is for my life," and to set out to do it, but then quit. It's another thing to say, this is what God's will is for my life, and I'm going to do it until I die. And that's what Jesus said. It's not only to start off doing God's will, but it's to finish it. It's to stick with it and to finish it. And he told two parables about the importance of finishing. Let's look at them quickly. Luke chapter 9, just an excerpt from each one. Luke 9:50. Actually, no, we won't look at the parables, but we'll look at Jesus Christ's attitude about finishing. Notice John 9:51. He says, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is while Christ was fulfilling his ministry, and he said, I need to get to Jerusalem. Why? To die. So he didn't avoid Jerusalem. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, knowing what it held for him, because he knew the future. That is single-mindedly saying, I want to finish what God called me to do. I need to get to Jerusalem. And then to go to Luke 12, again, Jesus Christ showing this attitude. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? In Luke 12:50. So what's he saying? What was the baptism he's talking about? He's talking about the baptism of suffering, the baptism of Calvary, being immersed in suffering and pain. He says, I have to fulfill it. I have to do it for mankind. The Apostle Paul said a similar thing at the end of his life. The last book he wrote was 2 Timothy, chronologically. And at the end of 2 Timothy, he said, I finished my course. 2 Timothy 4:7. I fought the faith, I finished my course. I finished what God called me to do. We should have the desire to be able to say the same thing when we get to the end of our lives. I finished my course. It's one thing to say, yes, I know what God's will is, I'm going to start it. It's another thing to finish it. And I didn't take us there, but there are a couple of parables we talked about. Sit down and count the cost, lest you be able to not be able to finish it. God wants us to finish. So he's telling us that doing the will of God is more important than earthly things. He's telling us that we're here to do the will of God, but we're also here to finish it. Then he tells us back in our passage, verse 35 of John, that all of us have a primary mission. Now, all of us have a specific thing that God wants us to do with our gifts, but we also all have the same primary mission. And that, of course, has to do with the gospel getting to the world. So then he takes what he has just taught his disciples. Serving God is more important than food. You must find the will of God for your life and you must finish it. Now look what he says, verse 35. Say not ye that yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. There is no greater work that we can do for Jesus than this work, than participating in the harvesting of the souls of men and women, boys and girls on this earth. And this was Jesus's attitude, his whole ministry. Look at Matthew 9 and we'll see an example. Matthew 9:36. But he says, I want you to lift up your eyes. In other words, I want you to take your eyes off the things of the world. Lift up your eyes, take them off of your trials, take them off of all of your plans, all of your problems. I want you to lift up your eyes, and I want you to look out beyond your problems and your life. Look out there at the fields. Notice Matthew 9:36, when he saw the multitudes. So Jesus saw them, but he saw them differently than we see them. We see a bunch of people, he saw souls. It says he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Lift up your eyes and look, he says. If you just lift up your eyes beyond your own personal things, you'll see out there that there's people. that need to hear. And as it says in Romans, how shall they hear without a preacher? That's us. That's our job, is to be that preacher. And so to reap fruit for the Lord. Notice back in our passage, John 4:36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. You know, Paul said, one soweth, another reapeth, but God giveth the increase. One sows and one waters, but God gives the increase. We're not here to win souls. God wins souls. We're here to witness. And sometimes they believe. But when the reaping takes place, who actually has reaped that soul, us or God? God is the one that has reaped that soul. But what Jesus is saying is to his disciples, I'm about to leave. I want you guys to understand there's things more important than eating and things of this life. I want you to lift up your eyes and look beyond the things of this life. I want you to look out there, find God's will, and finish it. And God's will for every Christian is that we look on the fields and do our best to see some reaping take place through the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. And so in the midst of this great event at Samaria, with the woman at the well, which isn't over, we'll see more of it next week. Jesus taught the lesson first on that God is a spirit. We must worship him in spirit and truth. And then he stopped and taught a lesson on the will of God for every Christian. Find it, finish it, fulfill it, and lift up your eyes and look beyond the things of the world. We'll finish at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 7. Look beyond the things of the world and share the gospel with the fields wide unto harvest. And there will be some fruit. 1 Corinthians 3, 7. Here's what Paul had to say. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. 1 Corinthians 3, 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. So we're just laboring together with God. The one who plants is nothing. The one that waters is nothing. That's what he's saying. It's God that gives the increase. Kind of like Sunday. When you've done your duty, say we're unprofitable servants. So lift up your eyes and look, he said, and find God's will and finish his work. Let's pray.